right, let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Well, Patch Club did a great job tonight. I think Johnny's having too much fun being Patch the Pirate, amen. Amen. So we appreciate their ministry there. We want to share a message tonight, Missions, Biblical Stewardship, out of Luke chapter 16. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. We're going to read down to verse 13 together. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig, but to beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of the Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this month, Lord, as we focus our hearts on missions. And Lord, we certainly are aware of the fact of the command of God to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And Lord, I believe that really sincerely, that means there's many of us need to just surrender and say, I'll be willing to go. Here am I, Lord, send me. But every one of us, Lord, that aren't able or willing to go or feel the prodding of God to go, I pray that we might be supportive through prayer and through financial support to know that God, whatever we give in the God for the sake of the gospel and whatever we do for the sake of the gospel, Lord, gives the opportunity and a benefit for others to be able to hear how to be saved and be able to go to heaven. And so, Lord, I pray you speak to each of our hearts tonight as we think about missions and biblical stewardship. That we'd be mindful of the great blessings that you send our way as we're willing to give. And Lord, we're thankful that you demonstrated the sacrifice that was required for us to be saved in giving your own son. I pray, Lord, there might be somebody here tonight that's not saved, so touch their heart, Lord, and I pray that they might believe to the saving of their soul, Lord, be able to leave here knowing they're going to heaven. I pray for every believer tonight, Lord, that we might get thrilled and excited and plugged into this opportunities that you give us to preach the gospel here and around the world. And so bless us now, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 13 is our text verse. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What a passage of Jesus speaking to his disciples and speaking to us tonight. We know the previous chapter, in chapter 15, Jesus had addressed the Pharisees in reference to the joy of finding that which was lost. And certainly as you read through chapter 15 and you read the parables of the lost son and you read of the lost coin and your lost sheep, and you see the joy of the one that finds that which is lost, it helps us to comprehend the joy in heaven over one soul, over one sinner that repenteth, and it gives us joy to know that people can still be saved. But in this chapter, he is focusing on biblical stewardship. And oftentimes when we talk about biblical stewardship, we don't think of it in the context of many times of missions. And this is our missions month. We're focusing on missions. So we need to be praying about what is it that God would have us do in giving towards missions, and certainly being committed to praying for missions, and being a support to our missionaries that are here and abroad. So missions is not just simply giving money. Missions is about spiritual growth. And we are to grow in our faith, to believe that God will speak through us so that we might be able to share the gospel with others. But we need to be able to give by faith, to believe that we can trust God to give to us what is necessary to be able to be involved in worldwide missions. Whether it's about giving to missions or building programs, whatever it is, it's all about faith to trust God for our daily needs and the needs of those that we are desiring to send around the world. I've just watched over the years that God can miraculously move if you'll give by faith, if you'll take care of your finances in a way that you'll bring glory to the Lord. People always seem to get nervous and worry if there's a message that's on money. Now, I saw you all get nervous when you saw the slide go up there, missions, biblical stewardship. But you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to be nervous about that. I read this quote. It says, worry does not prevent the disaster. It only prevents the joy. So don't worry about the money aspect of this matter of biblical stewardship, because you won't enjoy it. You won't enjoy the message at all. Amen. You'll be too nervous about it, too worried about what the expectations will be. And we get involved in missions, and all we do is worry about the finances of missions. We'll never enjoy the concept of being involved in missions. And so, listen, your worry is not going to prevent the disaster. It's not going to prevent my preaching on it. So you might as well just sit back and relax and enjoy the message. Amen. You must understand that biblical stewardship does not focus on the amount of the money. Biblical stewardship focuses on the heart as the issue. And oftentimes what we do is when we think of stewardship, we're thinking of money amounts. And that's not what it's about. It's about our heart. Why? Because no servant can serve two masters. And you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot have the priority in your life being money, and we have the priority in your life being God also. And so you have to surrender your heart to the Lord, and that's the root of the situation. Stewardship is nothing more than the management of the affairs of another. As we read through these 13 verses, it's very clear that there was a man who was in charge of the household of someone else, and he was called a steward. And he was responsible to manage the things that his master had given to him. And God has given you a privilege to be able to manage the things that he has blessed you with. And that's all you are. You don't own anything, because you've been bought with a price, and it's the price of Jesus Christ's death and burial and resurrection to deliver your soul. And you're not the owner of anything. You are only the manager of the things that God has given you, whether it's your finances or whether it's your house or whether it's your vehicle or whether it's your personal life. All you are is the manager of the things that God has given you. You're the steward of the blessings of God. And sometimes what we do, we forget that stewards are required to be faithful. That's your next point there. Many times we forget several things about this matter of stewardship. And stewards are required to be faithful. And 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2 says, moreover, it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. And God desires us to be faithful and committed to the things that he has lent to us to be able to use it for his glory, that others might hear the gospel and might get saved. But the other thing is this: stewardship involves God's gift given by his grace. In 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 10, it says, and every man hath received the gift Even so, minister the same one towards another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And what a privilege it is for us to be able to take the gifts that God has given us. It may be talent to sing, or it may be talent to manage and organize things administratively. Might be a gift to teach or preach or whatever. But God has given us all these things by His grace. And because He's given them to us by His grace, then we are to be a good steward of those gifts that God has given to us. So it involves faithfulness. It involves exercising and using the gifts that God has given us. But it also, stewardship faces an accounting. And in our story in Luke chapter 16, we read of the man had to give an account to his master. And we all are going to have to stand before God and give an account of our life someday. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And so when we talk about missions, we talk about preaching, we talk about singing, we talk about ministering, we talk about all these things that are involved in the Christian life, God has given us the ability to manage those things for His glory. And yes, He is going to evaluate and make us stand before Him and give an account of our life. And what will the accounting be when you stand before Him? Notice several things here in this passage. Notice the principles of stewardship that we see in verses 1 through 8. The principles are simply this. You need to prepare wisely. Why? Because in verse 1, the accusation was that he had wasted the master's goods. He says, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. Now, the steward does not own anything. He is a manager of the things of the master. And so you need to prepare wisely in taking care of what God has entrusted you with, because you don't want to, number one, be accused of wasting the master's goods. And I've talked to people over the years, and there's been people that, you know, been older in years, and they share regrets that they felt God calling them to preach or calling them to be a missionary many years prior to that day at that particular age. And they say this, you know, I've wasted my life on all these other things. And so regret over wasting what God had entrusted to you. When you come to the end of your life and you take a look at your life, what are you going to be able to say? Did I use everything that God gave me very well for His glory? Or are you going to come to the end of your life and say, well, you know what? I didn't prepare very wisely, and boy, I wasted of the many, many blessings that God has given me. And God wants to use you in a powerful way in this area of missions, and He has entrusted you the opportunity to be used by Him. Don't waste time, and don't waste goods, and don't waste finances because of the fact that God wants to use you to manage those things that others might be saved. So prepare wisely. Why? Because the accounting, there is an accounting of that which was wasted. In verse 2, it says that the master, he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. And I don't want to come to the end of my life, and as I give an account to God, that I have to explain to Him why I wasted the things that He entrusted me with. I want to be able to come to the end of my life and hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so how well are you managing, how well are you preparing to use the things that God has blessed you with? Some people, it's amazing, some people it just seems like they're good, I don't know how I want to say this. They're good at managing money. It seems like they can just, you know, make a lot of money. And some people just can't make a dime, it seems like. But if you're good at making money, how are you managing that money? You know, there's others that have a sweet spirit of mercy and grace that they demonstrate to others, but yet they'll sit in church and never do anything in exercising that to be a help or encouragement to someone else. How are you managing the things that God has entrusted you with? because there is an accounting one day in reference to whether you wasted the things that God has given you. Many times people have abilities to teach, but you can't get them to teach. They have ability to sing, but they don't get in the choir and sing. And I remember years ago, I had people upset with me when I said that, yeah, if you're going to sing special music, you got to be in the choir. And I had one person got mad at me, and they told me, he said, this is what they said to me. They said, "You are refusing to let me exercise my gift that God's given me in the area of music." And I said, wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense. You're telling me I'm hindering you from exercising your gift and ability to sing because I say that you have to sing two times every Sunday instead of one time a month on special music schedule. I said, does that make any sense to you at all? And I said, if you got a talent to sing, then bless God, get up there and sing. Amen. And oftentimes people have talents and they have gifts, but they won't use them for God. Now listen, you're going to have to give an account of wasting the opportunities that God has given you to be involved in impacting other people's lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Music speaks to the heart of a person. Don't waste that talent. So you need to prepare wisely, because that's what the principle of biblical stewardship. Notice not only that, but the reckoning of the account. In verse 3, the steward said with himself, "What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig." He didn't want to be a ditch digger. He said, "I cannot beg." Why? Because he was too ashamed to beg. And then he says, "I am resolved to do that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses." So he called every one of the Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, "How much thou owest unto my Lord?" And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, "Take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. And he did it again. And he says in verse 7, he said unto the another, "How much owest thou?" And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said, "Take thy bill and write 80. And what is he doing? He's trying to reconcile the account. He's trying to make good on what he was responsible for. And so preparing wisely is that you're going to manage the finances, manage the gifts that God has given you so that you're not wasting anything. And if you have wasted something, then try to regain that so you can get it right with the Lord. And I believe that God will bless you and help you in that situation. It's for sure that the Lord didn't condemn him for doing this. Notice in verse 8, the acknowledgement of the master was simply this: the Lord commended the unjust steward. Why? Because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I think sometimes people that are in this world, people that are unsaved, manage the things that they have for their own profit and their own good wiser than the Christians manage the things God's blessed them with for God's glory. And so we need to manage the things that God has given us by preparing wisely to be involved in biblical stewardship. Notice not only did he prepare wisely, but prepare eternally. In verse 9, it says, "And I say unto you, make to yourselves of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations." And so you need to have a healthy perspective on money. In other words, you need to support the right things. You need to support things that further the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to support things that give you opportunities to bring glory to the name of the Lord. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." I've watched over the years people start working overtime. Next thing you know, they're not in church on Wednesday night. They're not in church on Sunday night. I watch the spiritual growth go downhill very quickly because they're pursuing the almighty dollar. They're in love with the opportunity to make more and more money. And wait a minute, what a foolish thing. That is an unhealthy perspective on finances and on stewardship. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good and they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And so we need a healthy perspective of finances and a healthy perspective of money. We do not serve money. We use the money God blesses us with to serve others. And it's not about us just making a wealthy position for ourselves. I read this quote, things do not last forever, but people do last forever. And you can, listen, you can buy all kinds of things and you can invest in all kinds of situations to get things. But everything that you get is going to be gone someday. Everything. But if you invest what you have, the talents, the gifts, the finances, whatever it may be, in being a help to other people, to know God and walk with God, you're investing in a situation that's going to last through all eternity. So how are you managing your money? A healthy perspective on money, but also a healthy perspective on our investments. Investing in things that are eternal. Matthew chapter 6, we know the passage over there, and it speaks about the priority in giving and the priority in managing our money. And Matthew 6 and verse 19 says, lay not for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And it is, listen, it is hard for us to have a heart that's surrendered and committed to God and committed to missions and committed to ministry when we are consumed with how we are going to invest and make money on this earth, and then all of a sudden it passes all away. Now, we're supposed to be living by faith. We're supposed to be trusting God by faith that God will take care of us and God will provide for us. And I'm not talking about being lazy. The Bible doesn't tell us to be lazy. I'm not talking about not working. The Bible tells us we're to work hard. The Bible doesn't tell us not to plan for the future. I'm talking about planning for the future, but not for selfish reasons, not for earthly reasons, but to say, wait a minute, God will help me to manage all that he has given me so that I might be more involved in producing the gospel to go around the world. And so we need to have a healthy perspective on dealing with investments. So principles of biblical stewardship. Notice the premise of biblical stewardship. In verse 10 and 11, it says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? The premise of biblical stewardship is simply this: little leads to much. We often sing that song from years gone by, little is much when God is in it. And I'm not talking about, you know, the widow's mite that was given into the treasury. Jesus said that she had given more than everybody that went through there that had great wealth and had given. Why? It was not about the amount. It was about the heart issue and how she gave it and why she gave it. So little leads to much. With every promise in the Bible, there is a premise that is connected to it. You know, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, it says, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into thy bosoms. And so there is a premise on this matter of giving. When you give, God gives beyond what you can give. If we have faith to believe that God can bless, then God will move beyond that. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, notice the premise on this. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And so with every promise, there is a premise connected to that.
And so God has promised that he would bless us. If you're going to be unfaithful in the little things, God is not going to commit to you the big things. People say, well, I want to be in a position of leadership, and I want to be in a position of authority. Well, then you need to learn how to serve first, because God always connects a premise with his promise. Notice, consistent giving leads to consistent living. And, I've never seen anybody really grow in the Lord who was worried about what their giving patterns were. In other words, they were afraid to give. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And so, listen, consistent giving leads to consistent living. And I've been amazed over the years that God has impressed on my heart different times to be a help to someone or to give a gift to a missionary or whatever. And I'm going to tell you, every time God goes beyond whatever I did. And it's just a life of faith that lives based on the fact that I trust God, I believe God, I know God, and because of that, that I'm not going to withdraw myself from the little things. Because we're committed in the little things, God blesses us with greater things. So little leads to much. But relationship leads to reward. That's what it says in verse 12. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? The other man, you know who the other man's is? The other man's is God. What God has given to you is his. And we often forget that. We say, well, I went to work. I worked 50 hours this week and I got my paycheck. No, you didn't. You got God's paycheck. God gave it to you to manage. And I remember years ago when I was in Bible college, a bus company I was working for wanted me to work on Sundays, and they were really pressuring me about that. And I told them, I'm not going to work on Sundays. Because when I hired on there, I told them this. I said, I am a Christian. Sunday is church. I worship the Lord on Sunday, and I'm not going to work on Sunday. They said, well, we're a bus company. We're 24/7. I said, that's wonderful. But Sunday, the first day of the week, is the Lord's day, and I'm going to worship the Lord on the Lord's day. I'm not going to work on Sunday. They said, well, okay, we'll hire you. So later on, about a year later, they're trying to push me to work on Sundays. And I told them, I said, I'm not going to work on Sunday. And the woman told me this. She said, you need to realize this is your livelihood. And I looked at her and said, ma'am, you're dead wrong. This job is not my livelihood. God is my livelihood. And if God is meeting my needs through you right now, then that means if God can do that, then he can meet my needs through somebody else. And I said, I am not going to dishonor my Lord for money. It is God's day, and I'm going to worship the Lord on his day. And I'm not going to work on Sundays. Well, she threatened to write me up, but she never did. And a few weeks later, she hadn't written me up, so I confronted her about it. And I told her, I said, well, you know, you said you were going to write me up because I won't work on Sundays. I said, I haven't got any letter yet. Are you going to write me up or what? And she just said, why don't you shut up and get out of here and go to work? What am I saying? Relationship leads to reward. If you have a proper relationship with God, you manage what is his. You manage what is his, then he's going to bless you in a great way. Notice the you here is you. It says, if you're not faithful in that which is another man's, if you're not going to be faithful in God's, who's going to give you that which is your own? And I think many times people feel that it is, they can't get ahead because they got to do more work themselves. In reality, I believe we can get ahead if we'll just be good manager and good stewards of what God has given us. It's hard to enjoy what is yours when you have not given God what is His. And I'm going to tell you, this thing of tithing, this thing of giving a faith offer, this thing of giving sacrificial offerings to father the ministry, the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, it has a greater impact in people's lives than what people want to acknowledge and realize. And so when we talk about missions, it involves biblical stewardship, the principles of stewardship, and the premise of stewardship. But there's the priority of stewardship. I know you're really enjoying this message tonight, I can tell. And I'll make you feel better. I'll promise to take an offering at the end of the service. No, I don't want to do that. The priority of biblical stewardship. Notice, it's an attitude of love. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. And so here's where the problem comes in when we talk about being a manager or being a steward of God's blessings in our life. Is really the bottom line is that how much do you love the Lord? How much do you love souls that are lost? How much do you love in doing ministry? And it really just comes down to your love for God. You're either going to love God or you're going to hate God. You're either going to love this world or you're going to hate this world. But you can't love the world and love God at the same time.
That's right.
You can't love money and love God at the same time. Jesus said you're either going to hold to one or you're going to reject the other.
Amen.
And the bottom line is it's an attitude of love. In Proverbs chapter 3 in verse 9 tells us, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. And stewardship is about love, not wealth. And we need to get that through our head, because whenever you talk about missions, people already, they start to think, oh, he's going to want to take an offering for the missionary. He's going to want us to increase our faith promise. It is not about how much money you have. It's about how much love do you have for Christ? How much love do you have for God? It literally is an attitude of love. The priority of stewardship is not only an attitude of love, but it is an action of service. Because it says in verse 13, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so you can't be living a life of pursuing everything that the world has to offer and not be pursuing a surrendered life of serving our Lord. And so money, here's a good quote for you. Money is a great servant, but it is a lousy God. And I'm going to tell you, it's wonderful to have money. I like money. Amen. Anybody want to give me some when you leave? That'd be wonderful. Amen. I'd never turn it down. Amen. That was like years ago. I think it was D.L. Moody. He said this drunkard came up to him. He had $5 in his hand and waved it in front of D.L. Moody's face. And he said, yeah, Mr. Moody, you don't want this money. This money is the devil's money. Yeah, look at that, Mr. Moody. And Mr. Moody grabbed it out of his hand. He said, the devil's had it long enough. Now God can use it. Money's a great servant, I tell you. I like using money to serve me. Pay for vacation, amen. Whatever, me. It's a great servant, but it is a lousy God.
Amen.
When you allow money and you allow finances and you allow possessions in this world to take control of your focus and your commitment, I'm going to tell you right now, the joy goes out the window.
That's right. Amen.
Because the reality is money always runs out. And things always break down and fall apart. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we want to have an action of service unto God. Abraham had wealth, but he tithed. Joseph of Arimathea had wealth, but he gave a tomb for Jesus to be buried in. And Jesus is teaching us a lesson about missions. It's biblical stewardship, how we manage the things that God has given us. We as a church need to be careful that as a church, we manage the things well, finances well, and ministry well, so that we might be able to be a help and an encouragement to the missionaries on the mission field. And really, there's some things the Lord's been laying on my heart that we need to be more involved actively in communicating with our missionaries. The only time we hear from our missionaries, the only time we talk to our missionaries is when they come back off the field. And I get an email, we're going to be on furlough for the next 6 months or a year. We're wondering if you can come by. And they come by, they're here for one service. You talk for 3 minutes to them, and we think, whoa, we're really involved with our missionaries. I don't think that's a good management of our time. We think about the financial aspect of it is giving so that we might be able to support the missionaries in a way that they can be cared for on the mission field, but being able to manage that well so we can give more money to the mission field. I don't know if you prayed about it so far. What are you going to give towards missions this year? This next year, what are you going to give? What are you going to step out by faith and give? My mind's boggled when it comes to missions. We've been experiencing this for the last several years. Folks don't want to fill out the faith promise cards. It helps us to know what we need to commit to. But basically, each year in the last several years, the faith promise cards that are filled out and are turned in usually add up about to $40,000, maybe $50,000. But you give $95,000 to $100,000 each year. And I don't know where it comes from. I don't know how it comes in. I have no idea. But I don't know why people are hesitant. I don't know if you're scared that I'm going to check your handwriting by a professional so I can find out who it was that promised to give that amount of money. Well, we don't know who's filling those things out, but when we get them back, it helps us to manage well the finances in preparing for the new year. We as a church every year for the last 4 or 5 years have just been stepping out and saying, well, it's going to take about $95,000, so we're going to commit $95,000 with no commitment by anybody. And you say, well, that's ridiculous. You think so? God's blessing. God meets the needs. We take on new missionaries. It's a work of faith, but it does require us to be good stewards. We need to manage what God has given us and manage it in a way that whether it's here in Ocean County or whether it's through the state of New Jersey or across America or around the world, we can actively be involved in leading people to Jesus Christ because of our giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 1, Paul said, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial and affliction the abundance of their joy and the deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They didn't have a lot of money. They didn't have a lot of prestige. They didn't have much to boast about. But listen, they were willing to give liberally to meet the needs of others. Says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. In other words, they were begging him to take an offering. Boy, wouldn't it be great to come in the church and people as they come in and say, now exactly when are we going to give the offering? I'm ready to give. I want to, missions, this is missions month. When can I give to missions? I never have anybody running down the aisle and say, boy, I'm glad the offering plate's coming by. And so that's basically what they were doing. They were saying, take this gift, take this money. We don't have any money, but what we have given by faith and trusted God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 and 7, but I say, this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. It's the heart. The heart is the issue. Does God have your heart? Here's a couple of questions in closing and bringing this whole thing to a conclusion. Thinking about missions, thinking about biblical stewardship, thinking about the whole concept of being involved in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, how are we going to manage ourselves and our money and our gifts and our talents to be able to do better? Here's number one. God does not want your money. He wants what it represents, and that's your heart. See, your heart is where your treasure is. And if we're hesitant to give and be involved in managing our wealth in a way that we are good stewards for the Lord and for the preaching of the gospel, it's out of a heart. I found this: if you get capture somebody's heart, they'll give whatever you need. You know, people. It's amazing to me what people will give money to, and it's because their heart is connected with that. And so, the heart issue, it's not money issue; it's a heart issue. Number two, does God really have first place in my life? I have to answer that question when it comes to stewardship. And certainly as you read through chapter 16 of Luke, I do not sense that this steward had on his heart the priority that his master took first place. Because he wasted his income, he wasted the finances he was entrusted, and then he manipulated the situation to be able to pay the debt off and replace what he had wasted because he didn't want to dig ditches and he didn't want to beg because he was too ashamed to do that. That is not a person who is demonstrating that God had first place in his life, that the steward had first place, the master had first place in his life. So it really comes down, we think about missions. Am I going to surrender my life to go on the mission field? So I don't want to do that. I can't do that. Go on the mission field? Man, I got my life to live. I got to make money to be able to retire someday. What are you talking about? Me going on the mission field? Well, does God have first place in your life? Because if God has first place in your life, then you're going to manage your life that he has given to you for his glory. It's amazing, across America, Bible colleges are closing down. And the reason why they're closing down is because there's not enough students. It's a shame. Ministries, I was looking at a thing and just seeing how many people are on the mission field who are older and they're trying to get back to the States because they can't keep up on the mission field anymore, because they've been there 40, 50 years, whatever, and now they're older and they don't have the stamina anymore to be able to do that, but there's nobody, if they come back, there's nobody to replace them. People say, well, why should I go on the mission field? My question is, why not? Why not? Do you think being a preacher or thinking being a Christian school teacher or being a missionary is a second-class person? If God has first place, then he has my life. I don't have a right to choose that. I go to colleges all the time and interview for staff. And it's amazing to me how many young people in college, you ask them about coming to Jersey or whatever it may be, or talk to them about, and they've got it mapped out. This is where I'm going, either this place or this place. Wait a minute, I thought God entered into this picture somewhere. I thought it was, God, wherever you want me to go, thy will be done. Amen. Or is God's will, I mapped out my life and this is what I expect, and God, this is the place I'm going to go. That is not putting God first and managing the life that he has given you. Does God really have first place in your life? Number three. Can I prove it? Now, a lot of people can say a lot of things. Prove it. I think that's a justifiable answer. Question, I should say, that deserves an answer. The master came to the steward and said, show me, prove to me that you manage my wealth well. Give your account. That's proving whether the master had first place and whether the priority in the steward's life was to manage everything that God had well. Number four, does the way I handle my money demonstrate that he can trust me with more?
Sometimes I wonder, you know, if I'm dealing with financial problems in my own life, the first thing I stop to think about, have I managed what God has given me well so that he can give me more? Because God is not going to give you more unless you manage what he has given you already well to bring glory to his name. And it's just amazing sometimes. We just think that God doesn't want to bless us when he does want to bless us. But he is required of us to be good stewards of the things that he has given us to manage. Number five. Don't worry, there's 63 of these questions. Isn't that many? Number five. This is a good, valid question to ask in reference to stewardship. Who will be in heaven because of me? There's only one reason why God has left you here.
Amen.
And that's we're to be a witness unto the Lord.
That's right.
We're to share our faith with others. Who's going to be in heaven because of you? Who have you led to Christ? Who have you even witnessed to? Who have you even given a tract to? I've often said this, as church we run close to 300 people every Sunday. If everybody in this church just led one person to the Lord every year, realize how many people would be in the church? You realize how many people would be on their way to heaven? Now, I understand we do not manage or we cannot make somebody get saved. I understand that. But I just know this, if there's 300 people witnessing each at least one person every week, I guarantee you somebody's going to get saved.
Yes, sir.
So who will be in heaven because of me? And number six, here's a good question. If I'm not tithing or giving towards missions or towards the building, and I could add in there different ministries within the church, the question is simple, will I start? You say, well, why should I start? I've been getting by without doing it so long. You're missing out on a bunch of blessings from God. And in the worst case scenario, you're going to have to stand before God and give an account for wasting the things that he has given you an opportunity to manage. This church is coming up on 37 years old. In 37 years, there has been a multitude of people that have been saved in this church. Multitudes. Whether it's under Pastor Denhoff or whether it's under Pastor, just lost his name. Thompson, amen. Pastor Thompson, or whether it's been over the last 22 years that I've been here, there have been multitudes of people saved. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. You're not going to see multitudes of people saved in the future if we don't manage the things that God has given us well. Church just doesn't happen. Church takes place because of God's people surrendering to manage the things that God has given them and using it for God's glory. And you say, well, why in the world should I do that? Be simple, because no servant can serve two masters. You can't have it both ways. And in 2017, the culture in America is, I want it both ways. And you can't have it both ways. No man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I know this, if you serve the Lord with all thy heart, you'll have the right principles of biblical stewardship. And you'll understand the premise that God outlines in managing the things that he has given to you, and you will set the priorities so that you might be able to take care of the things that God wants you to be involved in. And may I say this, I started tithing years ago. It's always been amazing to me. Over the years, I've had people argue with me about tithing. And you know, every person that's argued with me about tithing has left the church. Every person has ever argued with me about tithing bounces from one church to another church to another church. It's amazing.
We've talked about faith promise missions. I've had people say, well, I can't give the missions. Well, you want me to tithe, man. That's 10% of my income. I can't give the missions. Why can't you give the missions? You can't trust God. You can't trust God for $20 a week. Can't trust God for $100 a week for missions. He's like, my goodness, that's a lot of money. Hey, every year I increase my missions giving. Every year. I've done that ever since I've been saved. And every year I wonder, where in the world is it going to come from? You know what? And every year I always get more than what I promised. And you just need to manage what God has given you. And if you'll manage it, be a good steward of the things of God, I'm going to tell you, God will get into this thing. He'll get into your life and he'll start blessing in a way that you'll be flabbergasted. You won't be able to describe and explain what God is doing. And you know what? Those missionaries that are on that backboard, we still have room to add more pictures up there. Amen? And we could put a whole lot more pictures up there. And you say, well, what happens when that gets full? We'll put some over on this side. Amen? You know, listen, people are dying going to hell. They're dying and going to hell. I read a statistic years ago. Every second, 144 people die and go to hell. You think of how many people died and went to hell while I've been just standing up here talking about stewardship. Folks, it's time for us to say, here am I, Lord, send me. It's time for us to say, okay, whatever opportunity I have to be a witness, I'm going to witness. Whatever opportunity I have to give, I'm going to give. God, you impress on my heart. Here's my heart. Here's my life. Everything that I have is yours. So God, I'll manage it if you'll trust me with it. And then watch how God will bless and God will move and do great things that we'll be able to accomplish just simply because of biblical stewardship. Missions, I'll tell you, missions explodes when God's people get that type of heart for managing all that God has given us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your blessings. We thank you for the grace of God. We're thankful that we're saved by grace and we live by grace and we give by grace. We minister by grace. Lord, may we just see the power that we can experience as we manage thy riches well. And so, Lord, give us an opportunity to lead someone to Christ this week. Lord, give us a great opportunity as we continue to hear from our missionaries, Lord, of what God is doing around the world. It's real time. It's real information. It's real experiences of people getting saved. And it's because of God's people giving God's way. Help us to be good stewards, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's